All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis 2. I have struggled all week trying to figure out what to preach this morning. I have tonight. It's done, and it's good. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 1, and I hope this will be an encouragement and a blessing to you this morning. Look at verse 1. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Now you see that little phrase right there? From all his work which, what's the next word? God created and made. "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created." There it is again. "In the day that the Lord God," what's the word? Made. There it is again. "The earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground." All right, right there is the first negative in the Bible. The first negative right there. You see, it's all for man. All right, there was no man. So it was all for man. This is why God created everything that is. He created it for man. "But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Now that living soul that is mentioned there was on purpose. All right? It was not a mistake with God, but God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And what that did was enable man to fellowship with God. That enabled man to fellowship with God. No other part of creation is given that privilege. Man is the only one. No other part of creation was given that privilege. All right, now, I want you to focus this morning upon verse 7, this is where I want to draw my message from. And let me read it one more time. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." You know, when we think we're all that, you know, we're just dust. Now, what do you go through your house, some of you ladies, probably a couple times a week with a can of Pledge and a rag. What are you doing? You're dusting. You know what you're doing? You're shoving dust up in the air, and it goes over here, and it lays down where you just dusted. That's what you're doing. That's what the Pledge is for, I know. So they say. breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I want to speak this morning from that seventh verse, and I'm going to entitle my message this morning, What About Our Beginning? What about our beginning? You know, there's a lot of confusion today about our beginning. A lot of confusion. Well, let's pray, and then we'll talk about that this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts today. I pray you'll give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And Father, I ask you to draw us closer to you. Each and every one of us should be drawn closer as a result of hearing the word, because the word is what brings faith to our hearts. And so, Father, give us faith this morning as we hear from your blessed word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I think it was last Saturday. Yeah, I know it was last Saturday. I sat down to about 6 o'clock to watch a college football game. And there was a commercial that came on. And that commercial said something to this effect. 240 million years ago, when this little one-cell bacteria crawled out of the primordial ooze and the process of evolution began, and they lost me right there. I didn't remember hearing another thing. They lost me right there. All right, 240 million years ago. Now, it wasn't 241 million years ago, all right? It was 240. It wasn't 239 million years ago. No, it was 240. All right, now, how did they know that? I rest my case. Well, did somebody put a marker on a tree? No, there wasn't any markers made. No, that didn't happen. 240 million years ago, the first one-celled amoeba crawled out of a pond somewhere, and then the evolutionary process began until today. We're sending rockets to Mars. Wow. I mean, think about this, folks. 240 million years ago to Abraham, and from Abraham about 3,800 years ago to now, about 3,800 years ago. Boy, we've made a lot of progress in 3,000 years. Wonder what we were doing back here at this 240 mark. Not years, millions of years. What were we doing back here? Well, the sun came out. Don't know where it came from, but it showed up. And that little one-celled thing that crawled out on a rock got a sunburn. And one day, miraculously, when that sunburn began to peel, a leg popped out. And then an arm popped out. And then a head popped out. And boy, look at us today. We've really covered some ground, haven't we? You know, I sometimes wonder what we did with our minds. On one of the news sites this week, there was a headline that said NASA possibly found, possibly found planet with cities. Did any of y'all see that? Huh? A couple of you did. They found a planet. Oh, wait a minute. It is 400 million light years away or something like that. And seriously? You can see light years away? I mean, through a telescope? No. No, you can't. Do you know what they do? They throw that stuff in an algorithm that they came up with. And then they run it and run it and run it and run it through a computer until they eventually get the desired result. And the desired result is we're not alone. We're not alone. You say, but Pastor, they've got pictures of spaceships. No, they don't. You say, well, yeah, they do. No, they might have pictures of demon activity. And they may have pictures of things that the United States military is working on. I think that's probably a lot of it right there. You know, I was amazed reading this week how the new stealth B-1 bomber, not the thing with the diesel engines on. You ever see smoke come out of those engines on that B-1 bomber from World War II? Well, not that one, the jet one, all right? Did you know that the first one of those was produced in 1984? 1984! And now they're presenting it as if it was yesterday. Oh, this thing, you know. Well, in 1984, they had this technology. Wow. Kind of makes you wonder, what do they have today? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We've got the best minds and the best military in the world, bar none. And nothing that they do surprises me. Nothing. They're genius at what they do. And I would dare say that a lot of what people are seeing is some of that. But there's an awful lot of claims about people who said, well, I saw it. They don't know exactly what they saw, but they saw something. Now, they might have had pizza with anchovies. You know? Ethel, what's that outside? Looks like little green men to me. No, you're the one green from eating anchovies on pizza before you went to bed. Mercy. Now, folks, listen. My Bible says that God created the world. Amen. That He created the universe. And would you not think, I mean, just, you know, just think. There was this big bang, and then everything, a world of order came out of that big bang. How many of you used to play with cherry bombs and all that stuff when you were a kid? My dad would go over into Ohio and just bring box loads of those things home. He shouldn't have done that. That was not good. Oh, I got in so much trouble over those things. We would put a... I'm not going to tell you that. Never mind, no. we would put them in snowballs. And when the bus came by, not the school bus, but it was called the Tyler Mountain bus. We called it the Tyler Mountain Turtle. And when it came by, we knew when it came by, and we had a bunch of snowballs made. And one guy was designated as the lighter, and the rest of us were throwers. And we used to just bombard that bus. Boom, boom, people hitting the floor and everything. Oh, God forgive me. Oh, it was awful. Only in West Virginia, yes, sir. Snowball cherry bombs, yes, sir. Oh, we had so much fun with those things. You're taking notes? Oh, they are. That's a little scary. Do you know every time we blew up a firecracker, it did not create order. It made chaos. You could not go out there and pick up all the little pieces of paper and all the stuff that was blown everywhere and put it all back together again. You couldn't. The Big Bang, as I've told you before, was not at the beginning. The Big Bang is at the end. You say, well, where did we come from? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's where we came from. It takes a whole lot more faith for people to believe in evolution, that we evolved over millions of years, much more faith to believe that than to believe that an eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable God created everything. Now, here's the bottom line, folks. Evolution just does not make sense. Evolution is a philosophy. It's not a science. It has no evidence to support its unfounded claims. I read The Origin of Species when I was in college. I had to, so I did. And it was not, you know, on my top 10 books to read. And when I read it, I just noticed over and over and over and over and over where he said, I suppose. There are no facts in the book. I suppose. I suppose. Well, you suppose all you want to, that doesn't make it happen. But here's the worst thing about evolution. It's anti-God. It takes God out of the equation. You see, if there is no God that created everything, then we don't have to answer to God. And that's what men fear the most. They have to answer to God. You see, if we can just get God out of our lives, then there will be nothing and no one to answer to for sin. No one to answer to. Atheist. Means no. Theist is God. Atheist. No God. And that's what evolution is all about. And now verse 7 tells us clearly that the Lord God created man, but the atheist says, no, there is no such thing as God. So here is where everything came from. And then they tell us about their atheist evolutionary theory. And that is, that's all it is, a theory. A theory. There was a preacher years ago. His name was Len Broughton. He was a brilliant man back in the 1800s. And he was arguing with an atheist in the center of town. They didn't have movie theaters, and they didn't have racetracks, and they didn't have all the entertainment, no baseball games or nothing like that. So people would gather in the center of town, and they would have speeches given. They would have a preacher preach. They would have some folks sing, whatever, and that was a way to interact with the community. Well, one day, they arranged for this preacher to have a debate with an atheist. So it got started, and that preacher, Len Broughton, was just absolutely devoured. He was just a little guy, and he absolutely devoured that atheist. I mean, chewed him up just like you'd wad up a piece of paper and stuff it in your pocket. That's what he did to him. His arguments were nothing. I mean, they were ground to powder the minute that atheist quit talking. And so in anger, that atheist looked over to Len Broughton in front of everybody, and he's mad now because he's got showed up, and he said, "I have just a half a mind just to take you and swallow you up, you little preacher, you." Len Broughton just calmly said, "Sir, if you did, you'd have more brains in your stomach than you have in your head." True. All right. Amen. To the message. Number one, I want you to notice with me the maker of our creation. Look at verse 7. Verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man." There it is. The maker. The maker is God. The Bible explanation begins with God, which is why it is wise and why it makes sense. It begins with God. Evolution, however, leaves God out. And that's why evolution is so appealing to the world today. Because today's unsaved world does not want God in their lives. They don't want God involved in anything that has to do with them. Again, let me emphasize the word atheist. It simply means no God. And in that in the mind of sinful men, any explanation of things that leaves God out is an appealing viewpoint. People will jump all over that. Leave God out, I don't have to answer to God. Another aspect, if there is no God, then there is no judgment. Well, we all know the Bible is very clear that judgment is coming. It's very clear. Let me remind you that when the psalmist said about this matter in Psalm 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God," God was simply saying that anybody who claims to be an atheist is a fool. Now, don't get mad at me. I didn't call you a fool. God called you a fool. And if you go to that Psalm 14:1, you'll notice that the two little words "there is" are in italics. And what that means is that the King James translators put those two little words in there, "there is no God," "there is," were added to the verse. They weren't there. They were insinuated in the Hebrew texts, but they were not there. So they added them so the sentence makes sense. All right? And so if you look at it in that light, I think it makes perfect sense to leave them out. Say, what do you mean? The fool has said in his heart, no God. Because that's what you're saying. You say, well, wow, never thought of that. Yeah, that's pretty serious, isn't it? The fool has said in his heart, no God, leave me alone. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Well, we know that. That's an atheist. Although, I'm going to tell you, folks, I have felt like this forever. I don't know that there really is any such thing as a true atheist. And the reason I say that is because if you go to a person who says, I'm an atheist, and give them a fork and cut off the two prongs on each side and then say, here, atheist, go stick that in that light socket right there. Who's the first person that atheist is going to cry out to? Huh? Yeah. It's funny how atheism just seems to leave a person when they get desperate. In Luke 12, verse 16 through verse 21, the Lord Jesus spoke the parable about the fella that he simply referred to as a rich fool. A rich fool. You see, God blessed this man even though he was not a believer in the Lord. God blessed this man, and his fields produced so greatly that he ran out of space to store everything that grew in his fields. So he quickly built new barns, and then he filled up his new barns and was so happy with himself. And he said that he was going to simply just sit back, take it easy, and eat, drink, and be merry. He gave no thought at all to thanking God for his blessing. Right. He gave absolutely no thought at all to call upon the name of the Lord and say, God, you've been so good to me. No, it was just all simply me, mine, my. I mean, everything was about him. And it was like he was atheist, no God. He lived like he believed that there was no God. And the Lord Jesus said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Let me tell you something, folks. When God says that a man is a fool, you mark it down, that man is a fool. God does not mischaracterize anyone. So any explanation that leaves God out will appeal to the world. It just will. I mean, the world will jump on that quickly. And we know that our world today lives as if there is no God. When I was driving in this morning, I counted them. There were four people jogging. And I thought, well, they're all going to die old and healthy. But they're still going to die. Right? Yeah. I saw two other guys riding bikes. And boy, they were huffing and puffing. I mean, you know, I was sitting there going, man, I'm glad I got a car. You know? And I thought, you people need to be in church. Why don't you leave your bikes here? We'll pick them up after church. You know? And you just, but the world doesn't want God. And that's what Paul said in Romans 3, of that there is none that seeketh after God. God is the one that seeks after us. And I was like that before I got saved. I didn't want anything to do with God. And hey, you probably didn't either. But thank God he wanted something to do with me. But if you eliminate God from your heart and your mind, it is certainly going to reveal itself in other areas in your life. Let me show you what I mean. Men have rejected God, but we are here. We are here. The universe is here. We cannot deny this truth. Every year, the same events happen in our world. It's winter, then it becomes spring, and then it becomes summer, and then it becomes fall, and then lo and behold, what happens? We do it all over again. And it's been like that since the beginning of time. Now, boy, you talk about a curveball. What if January came, fall's over, and December 21st comes, and all of a sudden we go into summer? Well, that would just mess everything up, wouldn't it? But you see, our world is a world of order. And we're here, and we had to come into existence somehow. So what is the world's explanation as to how everything and everybody got here? It's evolution. How do men explain all the calamities and the disasters that come our way? Well, if you know your Bible, you know that calamities and judgment comes from God. I mean, you read that Old Testament, and what do you see? You see the children of Israel going away from God and God judging them. How did God judge them? Well, he let them get defeated when they should never have been defeated. He sent fiery serpents upon them. Boy, that would have been a terrible thing, wouldn't it? And other things like God told Moses, you go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. So he did, and Pharaoh hardened his heart against God, so God sent disaster upon him. And folks, listen, we have seen in the last 20 years? So much disaster. We have seen so much. And how does the world explain it? Climate change. It used to be global warming. And then when that happened, the polar ice caps got thicker and bigger. Oh, we can't call it that. So now it's just climate change. And if it's hot, it's because of climate change. If it's cold, it's because of climate change. If it snows, climate change. If it rains, climate change. If there's an earthquake, we've had earthquakes since way back here. Nope, climate change. You see, you can't let God get the credit for trying to get man's attention. And as I've told you before, I don't think God looks down over the battlements of heaven and goes, whoops. You with me? I don't think he does that, do you? In the Old Testament, God sometimes used storms and hail and wind and floods. Remember on Noah? Swarms of locusts, typhoons coming out of the Mediterranean, typhoons in the Mediterranean. Remember Joseph? Joseph. Mine's a terrible thing to waste. Jonah. Remember Jonah? So it was just a coincidence. Wasn't it a great coincidence, though? Huh? Sure. No, it wasn't a coincidence. There's a God on the throne, folks. There's a God on the throne. And God says that we're supposed to live for him. Amen. And yet you got a world that is atheos. No God. And sometimes God has to get folks' attention. Good old climate change. Well, certainly something is causing these things to happen. So if it's not God, whom the Bible says of him that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So if it's not the Lord that is doing some of these things, then who's judging our land? So what is it? Well, it's not climate change, I can tell you that. Climate change is a way to tax. It's a way to get you out of your gas vehicle. It's a way to get more of your hard-earned money. How many folks live like or think like every day of their lives there is no God? How many people think that way? Man, you'd be surprised. You say, well, Pastor, all this is just, it's just the end times. I know. I know. I know what it is. And if you don't think God Almighty is behind it, you need to read your Bible. Now, it's not popular to say. It's not popular to say. Somebody is going to hear this, probably sitting here or listening online or getting it on a CD or downloading it off our website, and I'm going to get an email or a fiery note sent to me and saying, you narrow-minded. Yes, I'm narrow-minded. You bet your boots I am. I believe what God says, not what the Democrats say. I'm going to stick with God. I'm not going to, you say, well, a lot of Republicans do. I'm not listening to them either. All right, that's point one. Very quickly, let me give you the other two. Secondly, notice the making in our creation. Notice verse 7, the Lord God formed, made man. Made man. This forming involves design and purpose. If we went out in a parking lot right now, stood out in a parking lot, and you looked up in the air and you saw a big silver thing going across the sky, had wings on it, had steam coming out the back of the plane, behind the motors. If you looked up and you said, wow, after 240 million years of evolution, that's awesome. Well, we'd put you in the funny farm. You know, when you look up in the air and you see an airplane going over, it is so given that it doesn't even come to mind. You say, well, what's given? That somebody made that airplane. You see, there is not a rock somewhere that over time became an airplane. There is not a mineral deposit somewhere on the planet that over 240 million years, it evolved into an airplane. No, it's not how things work. Here's another one, Job 31:15. The Bible says, did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us, all of us, in the womb? In other words, folks, God made us. God formed man in the womb. And do you know what that shows me? It shows me that abortion is the willful murder of a human being in the womb. And does not common sense lead us to that conclusion? But boy, common sense is not too common these days, is it? And then lastly, I want you to notice the material in the creation. Notice here, the Bible says that we were made from the dust of the ground. And then life was given to us by the breath of God. God breathed into what he created, and man became a living soul. You see, the original creation of man was from very humble materials. We were made from dirt. Dirt. When I wrote this in the office the other morning, my mind went to Larry Stainer. Larry hated dirt. I mean, despised it. I said, Larry, your car's dirty. I'm getting it washed. And I would remind him all the time, Larry, your car's dirty. What? What are you talking about? What? But that's all we are, is dirt. We're just dust. And there is God saying it again over and over. He made us. In Jeremiah 1:5, we read these words. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before he was even born. I think it's wrong to take what God's formed. We think we're such hot shots, don't we? I mean, we puff out our chest and we think we're all in control and everything. We think we figured everything out, but we do not stop to consider that we're just dust. We think we're infallible. No. In the midst of our rip-roaring lives, we can be knocked down by the smallest of things. A little tick. A little tick. You see, God formed us in our mother's wombs, and God has given us life. Where did we get our beginning? God made us. Folks, don't you think that if God's our maker and we owe everything to God, don't you think we ought to recognize him? Don't you think we ought to serve him? And you know, the amazing thing here is when I get in my Bible and I start reading towards the end of the book, I read that every person is going to have to stand before God. He's going to look at you and he's going to say, Christian, why didn't you serve me? Why didn't you serve me? He's going to look at every unsaved person and he's going to say, why did you reject me? All I wanted to do was bless you. All I wanted to do was give you an eternal home in heaven. Why did you reject me? And boy, you talk about standing there stuttering. Because we don't have an argument. We just don't have an argument. Where'd we come from? He made us. Amen. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Oh my, would you let the Lord speak to your heart this morning? If you're here today and not 100% sure you're saved, I want you to realize there's a God who loves you. And that God wants to save your soul. He wants you to trust him. He sent his son to die for you. Now all he wants is for you to trust him. If you're here today and you know for sure you're saved and on your way to heaven, you know you're saved, would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ as your Savior? You say, preacher, I know the Lord. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And if I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I know it. All right, thank you so much. You may put your hands down. Well, there were some hands that weren't raised. Could I pray for you, dear friend? Could I pray for you? You say, Pastor, I don't know for sure but that I'm going to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. I wish you'd pray for me. Would you raise your hand and let me pray and ask God to help you? Would you just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it? And let's pray together and ask the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless and speak to hearts this morning. Anybody? Just lift your hand. All right, how many Christians will say, preacher, I know that I'm saved, and I know the Lord wants more out of me than what I'm given. So please pray for me, preacher. Would you lift your hand and let's pray together? Amen. 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 God bless. Yes. God bless. Father, you know our hearts. And I pray that you will speak to our hearts. I pray that you will help us to draw nigh to you. I think this world is so busy that we just allow the world to take our time instead of allowing you to take our time. And so, Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and draw us close to you. I don't know why folks who raised their hand, but, Father, you do. So I pray that you'll deal with every heart. May we leave here this morning satisfied that we have done what we need to do in our walk with you. So bless now, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.